Welcome to our service for the 14th Sunday after Trinity. Today will be a spoken service. As most of you know, Sam and I have been away on holiday, so we haven't had time to record music in the usual way. We're going to begin with the opening of the Northumbria Community Morning Prayer Service. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One thing I have asked of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. Who is it that you seek? We seek the Lord our God. Do you seek him with all your heart? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your soul? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your mind? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your strength? Amen. Christ, have mercy. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Jesus said to his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. May the God of all healing and forgiveness draw us to himself and cleanse us from all our sins, that we may behold the glory of his Son, the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 14th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is the psalm set for today, Psalm 103, verses 1 to 13. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins and heals all your infirmities. He redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with mercy and loving kindness. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He satisfies you with good things, and your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, and his works to the children of Israel. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness. He will not always accuse us, nor will he keep his anger for ever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our wickedness. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy great upon those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, So far he has removed our sins from us. As a father cares for his children, so does the Lord care for those who fear him. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, and of great kindness. The New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Look, if a member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, I tell you, but 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children, and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before his master, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. He went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago, I had a first-time experience. I ate some lettuce. It wasn't actually the first time that I've eaten lettuce, but it was, in fact, the first time that I've ever eaten anything at all that I myself have grown. I've never been a gardener, and even Jane has been a grower of shrubs and flowers rather than vegetables. During lockdown, I finally decided, after many years of thinking, that I might do it, try to grow a few things. Some lettuce, tomatoes, spring onions and potatoes. With, it must be said, mixed success so far. Of course, we don't know at this stage how the potatoes are doing. I am beset by the suspicion that there are probably none there under the ground at all. But the lettuce has thrived easily, and the spring onions are just about recognisable as something slightly more substantial than grass. The tomatoes have done all right, but most of them are stubbornly refusing to ripen. Jane is looking after this horticultural mega-project while I'm away, but is also preparing to make industrial quantities of green tomato chutney, in the expected event that this stubbornness persists to the end. "Il faut cultiver notre jardin," said the philosopher Voltaire at the end of his novel Candide. "We must cultivate our garden." The world is so full of global crises at the moment that it's all too possible for us to feel helpless. There's nothing any of us can do to change the course of the global pandemic. Neither is there anything that we can do to deal with racism at the systemic scale, despite the urgent protests of the Black Lives Matter movement, nor anything we can do to deal with environmental crisis at the global scale, despite the urgent protests of Extinction Rebellion. For me, the problem runs deeper than that. It is that I cannot find enough passion in me to really care about these things in the way that these street protesters seem to do, literally as though they are the most important things on the planet. I care about the environment in a desultory sort of way. I care somewhat more about racial discrimination. But then I care about the problems of Ceredigion's farmers, or the mental health crisis amongst our young people. And of course, I don't care about any of the above, as much as I care about my work, my friends, and my family. That's my garden, and I feel it's my calling to cultivate that. That is, I think, what Voltaire meant. Confronted, not to say bombarded, as we all are, every day, with the problems of the world on a truly global scale, all any of us can hope to do to make the world a better place are the things that can be done at the scale on which our lives are actually lived. I can't do anything to affect the major systemic problems which are driving climate change, but I can save energy, recycle consistently, live more carefully. I can't do anything to change systemic racism, but I can be aware of my own prejudices, be careful of how I treat people of different races, careful of how I talk about them. And in relation to no particular topical issue, I can always live my life with care and compassion for those around me, spreading grace, not greed. This is not entirely an argument, though, for Christian quietism in relation to politics and matters of power. There are, of course, Christians who are called to work on a larger scale, to attempt to change the world through government or other forms of activism, and the Christian Church in general ought to retain a prophetic role if it can, speaking out on injustice and inhumanity. The Christian tradition of praying for rulers and leaders is also one that perhaps we should take more seriously and give more weight to. It becomes ever easier and more fashionable to be cynical about leaders and politicians. But cynicism is cheap, and the lesson from around the world is that if we despise well-meaning politicians without good cause, we will just get worse ones, if indeed we have not done so already. Prayer for those in authority is important then, but in fact all prayer is important in making a difference to the world. Apart from the effect which my prayers might have on other people, prayer is what changes my mind, more than anything else. If you pray regularly and conscientiously for people, you cannot fail to find that your attitudes to them will be touched by grace. You will always be slower to criticise, quicker to understand. You will want to hear them, as it is important to hear black people at present. The older I get, the slower I become, which is natural enough. But of all the slownesses I really value, being slower to speak, and of course quicker to listen, is the thing which teaches me most. In your prayer times, make time to listen to the Lord, and try too to hear the voices of those for whom you are praying. The second thing that Christians do is give. Apart from anything else, you may never have thought that your giving is probably the best thing you do for the environment. If you are tithing, then, other things being equal, it means that you are personally consuming 10% less of the world's resources than you would otherwise have done. Of course, what you give will still be being spent, and that spending will still consume some resources, but they'll be consumed for good, charitable causes, rather than on personal consumption. I often think that churches and Christian people are given too little credit for their charitable giving, credit which belongs also, of course, to other religions, most of which have strong traditions of charity, and to other people besides. And again, just as with prayer, giving to good causes will raise your compassion for and understanding of the people you are supporting. Charles Wesley said that a Christian's calling is to do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And that applies on whatever scale you live your life. For the rest, the American theologian Reinhold Niebuhr summed up the proper attitude to living life at the scale we are able to in what has come to be known as the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the courage to change the things I can, the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. And now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today are taken from the blog Lay Anglicana, which has lots of good material for every Sunday of the Christian year. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Entad yr hwnnwyd yn y nefoedd, sancteddiad y enw, deled dy dernas, gwneled y wychlis, megis yn y nef, fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyr o'n i heddiw ein bar y meddyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddeion ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwa ni brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, can i seiddo ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Lord, open our lives to your goodness, our eyes to your presence, our ears to your call, our hearts to your love, and our lips to your praises, and open ourselves to your glory. Lord, look down on your church in all its messy humanity. We thank you for the moments of transcendence which inspire us to continue along our pilgrim journey together as the body of Christ. And we ask your forgiveness for the moments when we seem lost in a maze of disagreement about form and function. Hasten the day, we pray, of the New Jerusalem, when we shall all rejoice together to be branches of one vine and sheep of one fold. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of love, show us our place in this world as channels of your love for all creatures on the earth, for not one of them is forgotten in your sight. Enlighten those who possess power and money, that they may love the common good and care for this world in which we live. Lord, seize us with your power and light. Help us to protect all life, to prepare for a better future, for the coming of your kingdom of justice, peace, and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, open our hearts to those we live amongst, so that we may be loving and giving, building our community together, and then make us a gift to others in your name. We thank you for the modern miracle that is happening, as people whose lives have been destroyed by war seek shelter amongst us. While governments wring their hands, the people of Europe in their hundreds and thousands, Christians and Muslims, Hindus and Jews, are clothing and feeding those who have nothing left but their humanity. May their efforts be perpetually replenished, like the loaves and fishes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we know that your greatest gift to those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit is simply your presence. We pray especially for those suffering from COVID-19. Help those in pain to feel your closeness and to draw strength and comfort from it. Help them to undergo what must be undergone, and give them the gift of hope for the morrow, knowing that underneath are your everlasting arms. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, Lord, we remember all those who have departed this life and those who mourn their passing. May they rest in peace and rise in glory, and may we in due time join them in the feast of eternal life in your presence. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And for our final prayers, we return again to the Northumbria community. First, the Celtic prayer. Christ is a light, illumine and guide me. Christ is a shield, overshadow me. Christ under me, Christ over me, Christ beside me on my left and my right. This day be within and without me, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. Be in the heart of each to whom I speak, in the mouth of each who speaks unto me. This day be within and without me, lowly and meek, yet all-powerful. Christ is a light, Christ is a shield, Christ beside me on my left and my right. And so may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home, rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home, rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.